Hello and welcome to the Lincoln Cast. My name is Conrad Kirby, aka Thurbleton, and this is the Lincoln Cast for the week of the 28th of January 2014. Joining with me today is Matt Leslie, aka Shinboy.
Whoa, hold on. There we go, it's my intro music.
And his ongoing attempt to try and get Ian Saunders, aka Squiddle, here to buy a 3DS.
As soon as you played that, I was thinking like, and oh, just everything is rushing back like a wave of titles.
Have you guys ever, like, the main thing is usually video games live, but have you guys ever gone to like a full orchestra live symphony doing video game music?
No, none of them, at least none of the ones that I've been checking in on, have been near me recently.
Yeah,
otherwise I totally would.
That's kind of a bummer. The last time they were close for me, it was like in the other state, in I think Tacoma, Washington. So I was like, I don't really feel like driving.
Would it count that if when I was in middle school, our band did that for our parents, and we did live covers of like Pokemon song and Zelda and all that?
I mean, high school and elementary band, whatnot, is like awesome. But when you get like, no offense to any children listening, but the talent,
band geeks,
the talent and size of a full like proper orchestra is something to behold. It's an awesome spectacle,
especially if you're in like a theater with really solid acoustics.
Yeah,
that is a big part of it as well.
Yeah, we were in the cafeteria. There was no acoustics except for that's pretty bad.
Yeah, when I saw video games live, it was in like a basketball stadium.
Oh,
so decent acoustics, but not like specifically designed for it.
Like they hold concerts there.
Yeah,
I would assume. Was it the Rose Garden?
No, this is back in Indiana. It was where the Pacers played.
Oh, wow. I was thinking a basketball stadium, like a high school basketball stadium. We had the bleachers and all the sorry.
No, I mean, like, it wasn't the best, but it was – I didn't know any better, so it was pretty awesome.
Sure.
But that is not Guild Wars 2, even though Guild Wars 2 has an awesome soundtrack. We're here to talk about –
Did it record it in a theater?
I don't know if they recorded in a theater. I think it was recorded on a soundstage.
If they have a piccolo, I'm okay. Do they have a piccolo?
I don't know if there's a piccolo on. You should probably tweet the composer whose name eludes me. I was about to say Austin Winstrey, but I know that's not right.
No, wrong game composer. Hans Zimmer.
But yeah, it's some updates has happened with Guild Wars 2. Or at least they've been divulging some stuff. The Edge of the Mist is finally coming out. We'll talk about that later. But starting off, we want to talk about the Marionette and the Worm fight, eh?
Sure, yeah, because last time we convened to discuss such topics, it was patch day, so we only had a couple of shots at each. Like, I didn't bother with the Worm and still have not bothered with the Worm. But maybe you only got to try the Marionette once or twice.
Well, to be fair, for your interest, the Marionette is believed to be a limited content, whereas the Worm's more or less for goods.
Yeah, that's my logic. Like, I'm going to do this thing that's only here for a certain amount of time. This other thing will be here forever. I can do that whenever. So I've been doing the Marionette.
I feel like I should have a gavel when you said convened. Sorry.
So I'm wearing one of those crazy wigs.
Yes, we should. That would be awesome.
Going down the side.
Yep.
Big robe.
To any London listeners, not all of us believe that they are crazy. Shinboy's views do not represent the views of the Lincoln Cast.
They actually wear those. Like, I'm not joking.
Yeah, but they're not crazy.
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's a thing that they actually wear. Which in and of itself is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think they have to powder those wigs? Like, they go to the bathroom and like throw some powder on it?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
If you know the answer,
email the Lincoln Cast.
Or message us at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter.
All right. Plugs are done. Show's over.
All right. Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Let's get back to this Marionette fight. When's the next time we're on it?
Actually, what time? An hour and 20 minutes.
Okay. We can probably wrap this up by then.
No, we're not going to make it there. Come on. So they finally did it, Thurb.
They did it.
Are you curious what it is? Because I know I am, even though I have the answer.
I am more curious who they are.
They being ArenaNet.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was they being like the general public playing the Marionette fight.
No. People are assholes.
It's like they finally managed to work together to solve it. No, what did Arena pull off?
That happened too. One, yeah, people are now starting to complete it at least somewhat consistently. They finally made an event that is fun and is relatively balanced. It's not too easy and it's not too hard. Like going in, you're not quite sure whether or not it's going to succeed or fail, which is sort of the opposite of like when they revamped Tequatl, where for the first couple of days you were just failing nonstop, and now you pretty much always succeed if you go with the right group.
Sweet. Awesome.
There's still a 50-50 shot.
I still, like, whenever I do play, and I'm in one of those two, I haven't gone to Lorna's Pass. I've mostly hung around Blood Tide and watched a couple of the worm fights, participate in, like, one of them. But what I love is checking, like, the Reddit or whatnot and seeing these posts from Josh Foreman and a couple other people, I think. But just talking about, like, yo, it's like, I see you're having trouble and you think this is how it works, but this is like the intricacy of this fight, and like explaining some of this stuff so people will get further in cracking the nut that is beating this marionette fight.
It's funny that you mentioned Josh, because like every time he brings something up, it seems to become the top post on Reddit, regardless of what he's saying.
Yeah.
So I saw at the beginning of this event, he was online, and I messaged him. I'm like, man, it seems like every time you say something on the forums, it instantly shoots to the top post on Reddit. And he messaged me back. He's like, I love making trouble. And I thought that was really funny.
I'm happy. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad that he's all in for this.
I'm surprised that like he's commenting on this stuff, seeing as he's not a balance guy. Although I do recall when back in November, when he was on my Extra Life stream, I asked him what he was doing, and he did say he was working on January stuff.
Yeah.
So he obviously probably had a lot to do with this update.
Well, wouldn't that make sense if he's not directly a part of balances stuff, but he makes comments on it while he's in the back? He's like the rebel.
If he's doing like art and stuff, he probably doesn't have to be monitoring. This is all just pure speculation. He probably does not have to be monitoring like straight content balance feedback as closely as like the content designers do.
Well, and also he's more or less done until like the team sits down and decides what the next update is. So right now they're on this update. He's just like, I know how everything works. I don't need to put any fires because I'm not like trained in how to do that. He's not a programmer.
Instead, I'm going to start some.
Yeah.
Or at least add some fuel.
I also like that he's gone from environment designer to environment design specialist.
Yep. Some of those titles they give to people on the forums are kind of funny, even if they are actually official.
Yeah.
Master of the Universe, part two.
Yeah, people, if you don't get dumbasses or just straight assholes, because if you don't know the fight, if it's your first time there, just say something, and most of the time, like before people enter, someone in match chat will usually spam, okay, here's this boss, here's the mechanics. So read, please, if you don't know. Is it for the good of everyone? But the good thing is, if you do end up failing as a whole, the event is still worth your time.
Yeah, the rewards are still pretty good, right?
Yeah, because the way it works is there are five chains holding up the marionette. Then each boss represents a different chain you have to sever. And as you're sort of doing your tower defense and killing a whole bunch of enemies that are spawning and defending your new lane, you are gaining, I forgot what they're called, like cipher fragments or something, depending on what you're killing. The most common ones are watchworks because you're killing a whole bunch of watchwork stuff. But you also get toxic. You also get molten, depending on what you can get scarlet ones too, aether blades, all that. And once you get 25 of them, you can double click them, and that makes like a completed cipher or something. I forgot what they call it. It's essentially a chest key. And you can take that and go into the hideout, Scarlet's hideout, and use that to open a chest, which always gives a guaranteed rare plus a couple of other pieces of at least green rarity or better. Depending what chest, you might get one of those weird like Aetherblade salvageable things. And you get a few more of the fragments back to build towards your next key. And if you get a good run of this, you can get a whole bunch from farming mobs, maybe two keys worth. Plus, for each chain you sever, you get 5 of whichever ones you choose. So if you're close to Aether Blade, you can get 5 of those to finish that key and stuff like that. So a good run, you can end up getting, I don't know, anywhere from 2 to 4 guaranteed rares out of it, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
If not more. Like, I've gotten exotics out of those chests. And if you finish it, in addition to that, you also get, you know, a regular, like, boss chest, which contains, like, champ bags and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, totally worth it. You should all do it.
You convinced me. I'll give it a go next time.
It's fun. It's temporary. Even if you get into an overflow, you'll probably get something out of it. Your best bet is to show up like an hour early, because that's also when the worm is going on, to try and get into the main server and then just sort of like AFK, run into a wall until the event starts. I know some people frown upon that, but whatever.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's some neat stuff to do in Loner's Pass. I'm not sure about Bloodtide.
Yeah, I was doing Griffin Rook Run, the jumping puzzle, while waiting one time, because I realized I didn't have that achievement. So if you don't have that achievement, there's actually a couple achievements you can get in there.
That's a really fun jumping puzzle, too.
Yeah, and it's, if you want to get the chest, it's the one where you have to get the bomb and sort of do it in a timer, which, screw that. That's tough.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, it's tough, but I seem to always do it with a group.
Yeah. Well, the hardest part is, like, the things will knock you down, and then you lose out on time, and it's real bad.
That's why you have just a giant group of people just killing everything on the way.
Just zerg through it. I mean, when I did it the other day, I just wanted the achievement because I was rushing to 10,000 achievement points for a reason that will be mentioned in our next topic.
Ooh, wow. I am just under 6,000. Of course, I don't know. I've been like pretty much since the invention of the whole like achievements give you this new currency system or tier system, I guess. I think I did like one set of 1,000 and then was like, yeah, I'm done with this for now.
I was close, so I figured I would finish it. Yes,
I just want to mention how lazy I am, is that I am close to hitting 5,000. I could just run in and do some, you know, some views. What are they called? God damn it. See, that's how bad.
Vistas.
And I would get it, but I haven't. God damn, I'm lazy. Anyway.
The thing is, don't underestimate the daily, because I have gotten over 3,000 points just from doing dailies.
Okay.
So over time, it adds up, because it's at least 5 points per day if you just finish the daily. Then you can get more if you do extra parts of it. Hmm. Same thing with monthlies. I've gotten like maybe 900, just under 1,000 points for monthlies. Nice. So yeah, all that stuff's totally worth it. Yeah, you said you were doing the worm, or at least watching.
Yeah, it's 3 different, from what I've gathered, and I'm sure I'm going to be wrong at least a couple points. It's happening in 3 different locations simultaneously, where
that part's true.
3 different groups, because like there'd usually be 3 to 4 commanders, like icons on the map, and I'm assuming they have some sort of coordination between them all of just wanting to, like, you know, execute these guys at the same time.
Yeah, I think there's a timer on the event, and when you kill one, it brings the timer down to 60 seconds to kill the other two.
Wow. Yeah, I never actually saw the worms get down even close on health. But it's involved making yourself – well, killing these giant slow-moving guys who had, you know, the buff over them like we talked about on last episode – and making sure you die, or you're near them when they die, so you get with the tasty buff. Then you have to stand in a certain area so the worm will eat you. And from there, this might just be from other MMOs, by the assumption that you then went like to a sub area where you're inside the worm and doing damage and then getting puked out. But that didn't seem to be the case, or I just wasn't getting eaten properly.
I know that once you get eaten, it sort of enters you into the burn phase, and you can start burning down the boss.
Huh. Okay. Well, I mean, like,
it has something to do with that.
I basically went where the commander said, stand here with, like, all my icons. I was like, all right, I'll do that. And then when everyone else scattered, I did as well. And nothing seemed to have an effect.
This is just judging by, like, you know, what I've seen of videos and stuff, but it seems like getting eaten is key to doing damage. not exactly sure how it works because I have sort of been doing the marionette instead.
But that is more or less my knowledge of the worm fight. But it's super interesting that they have these, like, they're really playing around with the idea of, like, these hardcore world fights.
Yeah, because, like, Tequatl sort of had a small community form around it where people get together on X server at X time every day just to do Tequatl, and I would imagine the same would happen with this. Although this took significantly longer to down for the first time than Tequatl. And it's only been Europe. I don't think any NA server has done it. Desolation did it, but that's Europe. I think Blackgate was the closest in NA because they always are because they have the most people. Yeah. The worm, it's a thing. The marionette, it's a thing. Hey, Squiddle, you know what else is a thing?
What's thing?
Colors.
Colors. Oh, dyes? Do you mean dyes? I love dyes.
I do mean dyes. Do you remember back when they had those Flame and Frost dyes?
I absolutely love those Flame and Frost, the Framing Frost.
You remember also when they had those toxic dyes?
Yep.
They're all gross and hideous and no one should use them?
Why not? You could clash it with the all. If you're wearing Abyss and everything you have is Abyss, throw a toxic on it.
If you're wearing nothing but Abyss, you should stop playing this game because you're missing the point.
That's true.
My guardian is mostly Abyss.
You have some form of accent on it, though?
Yeah, there's a little bit of blue accent there, but I'll look into the toxic.
Good. You're good. Because, okay. Well, there's one dye out of the toxic set that is really nice. It is Blacklight. It is one of those rare purples that is both dark and vibrant at the same time. If you get what I'm talking about.
So it would match my hair on my sort character of, that I have.
Yes. Sort of like,
I have those tips black, that glow.
You know how a black light looks? How it's a dark purple, yet it's still kind of vibrant? It looks like that.
Okay.
So what they did for this past weekend was, I forgot the exact name. They were calling it something stupid. Like the Evan Nashblade Weekend Dye-Stravaganza or something silly like that.
Ooh.
Where they put the Flame and Frost dyes. Each of those were separate, by the way. So it was Flame Dye Pack and Frost Dye Pack. And the Toxic Dye Pack back onto the gem shop for 3 days, just the weekend.
So if I had 1,600 gems to just blow,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that is a worthy thing to blow them on?
It is a gamble because you get one, I think it's 1 to 6 dyes out of each of those, at least the Flame and Frost ones. And it's a pool of 25 dyes, 6 of which were the new colors at the time they were introduced.
Okay.
So you basically have a 6 in 25 chance. There's actually no way to really reduce that.
I have a question about dyes because mm-hmm. for my feeling, if there was a dye that I really wanted, and there was a couple, especially out of the Flame and Frost. It is. It is. Especially out of that pack. Here we go. What would your price be like if they said it was you could buy a single dye and know exactly what you're getting for $5.99? Or buy 2 dyes that you want for $9.99. Would that be something that would interest
that's
you?
That's a bit much.
Well, see, the thing is like they have that where if you buy $5 worth, like the, it's not quite the like that currency exchange, but if you change gems to gold at the right time, you'll get enough money to buy or get enough gold to buy it off the trading post.
Yeah, that system is there in a way.
That's true, I guess. Yeah.
Because I know it's like, I want to say I spent 7 gold and change to get 100 gems. That would probably work for most of them. I was really contemplating buying Blacklight for like 90 gold. And then it dropped down because they were all introduced. So prices obviously dropped because there were more on the market down to like 55. And it was still just a bit too high. And I didn't bite on it because the character I would use it on, I don't play that much.
It is bad that I thought how much gold. I forgot how much gold I have. I got to log in.
Huh. Well, I'm gonna tell you, I currently have 111, something like that.
Oh, here's my question: How much was the book for the commander icon? Was that 110?
100.
Okay, then I do not have. I know. Then I do not have at least 100. So
yeah. So because the price has dropped, and because these things are back on the store, I made some investments. Let's say.
All right.
I rushed to 10,000 achievement points because at 10,000 achievement points, you get 400 gems in addition to 30 gold. So I turned 7 of that 30 gold into 100 gems. So I now had 500 and bought the 5 for 500 pack of the flame dyes. Nice. And got really lucky and ended up with both a flare and a molten dye.
Oh, God, I want that molten dye. That was fun. Yep.
I remember that now. I now have 2 flares because I had one previously, which was previously up to 70 gold, dropped down as low as 22, and last I checked is back now up to 45.
I'll give you 2 20. Of those,
a molten, and an amenity. The amenity is from the one that's currently on the gem shop that's like the regular. This is just on sale right now. I even forgot what color. I know that's like 60-something. So I have a lot of money invested in dyes. And I hope – I think it's really interesting though that these dyes are really getting crazy. Like Deep Glacial Sky was upwards of like I want to say 250, 300 gold at some point
Do you feel that you're becoming like – The like one of the die barons, like the hat barons of Valve?
No, not that quite, because I only have 4. If I bought all of the flares, then maybe. But it's interesting to see. I wonder if they just knew that they were going to do this every so often, meaning ArenaNet, or if they figured, oh god, this stuff's getting expensive, maybe we should, you know, one, make some money off of selling them again, because people would rather pay, you know, a couple bucks than try and grind out the money. At the same time, reducing the price on the trading post.
I would like to think that they do have that kind of mentality. I mean, it's someone there going that, okay, legendaries are way too expensive. Let's make the match cheaper by doing A, you know, or let's increase the drop rate by this. Really so
high-rated. Nothing to do with anything outside of dyes.
They still got that economist on staff, right?
Yeah, I believe so. But I mean, because in terms of gold sinks, the more expensive things are, the more money they take out of the market because of the fees being a flat percent. But I wonder if they ran the numbers and figured that a few at, you know, higher price per item was worse for the economy than a bunch at a lower price. I'm wondering if they actually like sort of ran those numbers. I'd like to think that they did.
Sure.
What are your thoughts?
No, I would too. I mean, I like to think that it wasn't.
What do you think?
I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was either one or the other. I'm like, it. What they're doing with their gem store is kind of intriguing to me because, like the dyes and the consumables, I understand. Like that's a pretty safe bet, but like stuff like the, the outfits. Apparently, this has been like for some time. I just never bothered to look. But one of the former hosts of the Lincoln Cast, I guess on hiatus right now, I'm not sure if he'll be coming back, Nuburama, notoriously would always like to come back to the game to buy new outfits for this, like just for just town, for walking around in non-combat, I guess.
Yeah, town clothes.
Town clothes. They have drastically reduced the number of town clothes they have on the store. And instead supplemented them with a large amount of combat outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just surprised that they took down like a digital thing that is not consumable.
Yeah, it's – I thought it was strange that they just straight removed things. It's not like it was taking up physical shelf space.
Yeah.
Well, no, but you had people that complained that said, I want to be able to wear the stuff outside of town.
Okay, so that's not like an issue of limiting unless they plan on reintroducing those, like the writing and the designer like vest and all that, like those sets as combat outfits. Like if they immediately turn that around, that'd be one thing, but they're just straight up like, oh, we're taking this off the shelf. And
I wonder again if they sort of ran numbers and figured that the sales they would get from people going, oh shit, this thing is leaving, I better buy it, like vastly outweigh what they were doing normally.
Well, I mean,
I can see that being a thing.
I mean, that definitely is, you know, a supply and demand. I mean, whenever I see something on, I'll give you an example. When I see something on Kickstarter, let's say, that I want to get, and it has a day left, and, you know, man, there's only 2 left of this one tier, and no one else will be able to get it. Yeah, I mean, I'd want to jump at that. So probably, maybe it was the same thing when they said, we're going to take the town clothes out and, you know, no, you won't be able to get this again until they decide, okay, we're going to throw it in just for fun for 3 days like they did with the dyes.
Yeah, because I wonder if, like, specifically with the stuff they took off, if let's, for argument's sake, say they were selling 2 a day, right? I wonder if they figured, okay, if we take this off and say this thing's leaving in 3 days, if in those 3 days they'll sell maybe 300 or 100 per day, and that would be, you know, worth taking it off from the long term for the short term. I don't know. We don't know these things, but that's my guess.
Yeah. But yeah, so the transition from like the combat stuff as well as the consumables, like the whole dye sale,
dye extravaganza.
Dye extravaganza is something that is just like it's a new thing. I'm not sure if that's just what the new direction they want to take the store in for.
I think they might have brought the dyes back once before, but continue.
I mean, like to be honest, the idea of the dyes. There's still potential there in that what really wanted from when they released the Ascended armor was mm-hmm. like when the game first shipped, they like made some last minute changes to some of the armor, specifically the human cultural, and had like mm-hmm. something about the coating or the design of the armor, the base armor had this very nice reflective texture to it. And I was expecting a lot more quality stuff, either with Ascended armor or these like legendary dyes. So they might bring out like these new types of graphical dyes, with dye extravaganza deals like that.
Yeah. Cause they're doing a lot of weird stuff with armor now, like stuff you can get from the worm is like basically skins of the Ascended stuff, but it's got like a weird glowy effect that when you look at it from the right angle, distorts the image, if you will, like you're looking through. Like a weird smoke field and stuff like that.
Like I was expecting like armor that like would do something like the Mesmer illusion effect for like if you were a Mesmer class and then had all sorts of like clockworks. Well, they do have a clockwork set already for their engineers.
I don't know. Like, you know, like spinning cogs and more like profession specific stuff.
Steampunkish, I guess. I don't know.
More steampunk, more cyberpunk.
Well, yeah, but they had the steampunk set back with the other blades and I think that's still available.
I believe it is,
but yeah, like maybe, and then for like just more class / profession specific gear, like a really elemental cloth set. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm actually kind of happy what they're doing with a lot of the dyes from a look perspective, because a lot of them do sort of have weird effects on them, especially the toxic ones. Some of those greens look real strange. Definitely have like a toxic look to them in more ways than just the pure color.
Do you think they're ever going to take a swing at the Chernobyl blue? It's not Chernobyl's not the right word for it, but the blue you get off of a nuclear reactor pool,
like a plutonium blue almost.
Well, yeah, I can't remember the correct term of it, but people have all like anybody who's seen it has said that no photograph can get it right.
Huh? It's just I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's just this glowish shade of blue that I remember Will Smith of Tested.com, of Jamie and Adams Tested.com. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. Jamie and Adam Tested.com.
You always correct me on what the correct pronunciation of the website is.
Cherenkov radiation? Cherenkov?
Yeah, Cherenkov. That sounds right.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's seen it before and he mentioned it on, I think, this latest October cast.
So I'm trying to put this in perspective of the only blue I can imagine that was as blue as what you're saying. Has everybody here seen Waterboy?
I have.
Do you know the blue vial of water that he has that was from like some glacier peak that his dad had and sent back to him? Do you remember the blue that it put off?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's like that?
I don't know. This is looking to me like one of those like weird blue Gatorades that just doesn't taste like anything. It just tastes like blue. You know what I'm talking about? The so blue icy.
So reactor core light, blue light, blue glow. Here we go. Okay. Yeah.
I'm thinking this tastes. This is like blue Slurpee.
Dude, that would be a hell of a Slurpee to throw a straw in.
Right? Give you superpowers or something.
Yeah.
And I just want to die. I just want Blue Slurpee die on Gem Store.
But anyway, yeah.
That kind of makes me, if I were to die, if I knew I was going to die, I'd probably jump into a nuclear reactor to see if something happened.
That'd be weird.
I can't comment on what it's like inside a nuclear reactor, but being inside a microwave inside your body, I think I'll pass.
Bad things would happen. You would start boiling.
It would not be a comfortable feeling.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
You can't say anymore, or else we'll get
speaking of that redacted franchise, at Super Bowl Media Day, I think we could say that part.
Okay.
Today, which was near me, so I was following it. One of the players on one of the teams, I want to say Seattle, anyway, that's not important, was standing near like one of the walls, and some fan was like asking him to sign his hat or whatever. So he obliged, and there are images floating around of him turning around and handing the hat back to the fan while wearing a backpack that makes him look like a character from said aforementioned franchise. It's pretty great.
Nice. But yeah, jumping back to the Guild Wars 2, I think it's just like, I'm excited to see like crazy glows.
Crazy colors, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colors and hues and effects that are actual real life things.
Less flat, more J.J. Abrams when they stare at my armor.
I want a dye that's like magma. I want a lava dye.
I mean, there's a molten dye that I currently own.
Yeah, but does it look like you have just lava for skin?
No. See, there is that reskin of the Human Tier 3 that everyone got all mad about. That looks like you have lava for skin.
Yeah, but see, that's the armor thing. So do you think that's going to be crazy graphics from the armor or from dye? Like,
they won't do that with dyes.
Okay, well, that's...
That would, one, be impossible to work on every armor set. And two, why would they do that when they can just sell you the armor piece that way? Like they've already done. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Do you think, Thurb, perhaps we will see these new dyes in some Days of Future Past to say what I wrote down on these show notes?
Possibly. You know, it's maybe we've already seen it in some of the private test realms. That is to
not
say
really
that
private. It wasn't NDA'd at all.
Well, yeah, but it was a like exclusive invitation, I guess.
I suppose.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is the Edge of the Mists, which Thurb alluded to earlier.
Yes. The Edge of Time through the Misty Mountains.
The new overflow system for World versus World, which I'm still it's incredibly interesting, and I'm very curious how they're going to get like all the bells and whistles of it working.
What do you mean by like the bells and whistles?
I mean like let's say it's you can have the three-way fight front, like, you know, per battle group, say, for example, and two out of the three can just barely fill the standard battlegrounds. But then that third one has enough to fill an entire Edge of the Mist map on both sides. So
I think it works like a regular overflow, as in you just get tossed in with people from other servers.
Okay, brilliant. So then how can you ensure that you and your party get in, and how can you ensure you and your guild get in?
This is what we were talking about on Mumble earlier.
Yes.
There is a current system with the current overflow system where it prioritizes sticking party members together when you join the map. Say there are five overflows and you have a party member in overflow, let's call it overflow B. The game will try and stick you in overflow B before it sticks you in any of the other ones. I assume that's the case here. It would make sense both from a logistical standpoint and from a technical standpoint for that to be the case. What I don't know is how does it make sure that you're on the same team?
Which
could be a problem.
That is another one, yeah. So I'm sure they've had lots of time to like fiddle with this and test this for the beta that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
That it's been awesome that we've been able to see footage of the map and all that. I'm like, super excited to run around there and try it. But I'm wondering how it's going to work. Little stuff like that. Other than that, it seems pretty straightforward. You want
map itself seems great.
Yeah. Squiddle, have you heard of like any of the basics of this Edge of the Mists?
No, honestly, I have not. It sounds interesting. intrigued about it because they're really promoting it as if it is a whole new event to partake in. But I have not read much into it.
I think, honestly, this is 100% a game changer for World of World. Yeah. This has the potential to be.
I think this is a prelude to a game changer. I think that this, as well as the World versus World seasons, has allowed the World versus World team to A, try out new ideas without affecting like the league play. So not anything you do in the Edge of the Mist is purely personal reward, but not server reward, because you can have server like your own server fighting itself. It's purely just to have fun. But also they've been able to try out crazy things like the way you hold a supply node, or how that supply node supplies the nearby area, not by Dolyak, but by like power generator or magic. I don't know.
So it's kind of like an information gathering. The way they've been using it, like how do people actually react in certain situations? And then we're going to take that information and apply that to the actual maps.
I don't know if they'll apply to the actual map, maybe future maps, maybe redesigns and whatnot, but they've also been able to play with the way of like chokeholds and something that I would love to have in the current maps, and that is some bridges can be destroyed and rebuilt regardless of whatever side you're on. So it plays along the lines of what pathways you can take, what in chokeholds and just that whole rock, paper, scissors back and forth when it comes to two big Zergs fighting each other. And the way they can do this is you're in the mist, so everything's a floating island.
Which I think is still pretty cool.
Yeah.
That you can actually like fall off. I mean, I wonder, so like if you is the assumption, or do you know that if you fall off the map, let's say you run too close to the edge of the mist, do you end up like respawning back in? I mean, or like
I'm assuming if you fall off the edge, you'll die and you can respawn in one of the areas.
Okay.
As if you had taken a long fall. I don't know.
So, okay. Well, this is actually, so what you sent me, so I apologize for the people out there who can't see it, because I didn't know the extent of the map area.
It's a pretty sizable map. It's actually divided into three chunks. I want to say tundra, jungle, and desert.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm seeing.
I think that's right.
It's kind of what I'm looking at when I see this here. But man, that is massive for a waiting area, essentially.
Well, and part of the benefit to like they can make it massive because they don't need to build anything for that in between area. They just have to focus on the islands. And if you fall in the quote unquote water, you fall to your death.
Oh, that works, I guess. Yeah.
Which I think Guardians are probably going to love being able to just push people off cliffs.
Oh God, yeah. You're totally gonna have like a Roman moment where you have a bunch of Guardians behind each other and then just casting at the same time.
The one thing about this is this an option to join even if your battle group is not currently full?
I would hope so, to be honest, because if it is a new area where, you know, that's kind of like, okay, this is a holdover area so you actually go to your real battle type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should allow people. I mean, I don't know, but I would hope that they would allow people to actually go, okay, we want to queue for Edge of the Mist and just be in there. But then again, you end up with the issue, then everyone's going to want to do that day one. No one's going to be able to get in who wants to get in, and then they're all going to complain about it.
Well, ideally with an overflow server, they'll have enough servers that – like they could just use the World versus World servers since no one's playing in them as the overflow system, and I'm not sure how smart that program is, but I imagine it's pretty intricate.
I'm sorry, did you mean to join World versus World? We're sending you to the edge. Enjoy your time and stay. Thank you.
But what also this has is if people really dig this map, they could maybe like on a weekly basis during like the downtime of not league season, they could like, okay, well this week we're going to have the Edge of the Mists replace the Eternal Battlegrounds, and Eternal Battlegrounds will be the overflow.
Well, you say league season. Is there really a league? I mean, is it really gone to the, because I mean, I have not played.
Well, the first season has ended. The rewards were given out, and right now I think we're in the downtime between seasons, right?
Okay, sure.
Because I think Yaxben got first in their battle group. I'm not sure. Okay. I think our not Tarnished Coast. I don't know.
I guess when I hear League, I'm thinking like it's an official, you know, Dota or League of Legends type league where people all got together type thing. So maybe we haven't. I don't think we've gotten to that point where it is actually a.
I think it is an ArenaNet sanctioned and designed. They call it the League, I believe.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, the first season's come and gone. And during that 3 month time, they're able to work on a sizable chunk instead of doing small balance work, which hopefully means that whatever they like, either revealing this and then do another league, which gives them another 3 months to work on some big project and then reveal that, whether it be another map or advanced siege weaponry or improved commander icon or. I feel kind of bad that I'm just reeling off a bunch of things that they should like they could improve.
Well, they may use this area as like a test bed for that, which I would be fine with if that is what they were doing. But I would like for them to say like, hey, we're going to use this as a yes, it is a holdover until you get to your actual battle that you've queued up for, and we're going to be testing out different things. But at least let people know that you know what they're going to be testing because. I mean, I don't know. I guess the animosity of testing something and not knowing what you're testing is really the ultimate of getting information.
That's pretty straightforward. Just as soon as you join, there's a pop-up that just says, like, this is the current, like, this week, arrow carts do twice as much damage. Good luck. Or, like, catapults do an insane knockback now, but very little damage.
Or you can carry an arrow cart with you as you fire at the same time, and everybody acts as they're like miniguns, and that would be awesome. I mean, so essentially, if they were to turn this into Team Fortress 2 of maps, that would be.
I don't think they go that far with it. As a matter of fact, anything that they want to test, they have people that they can like. They have a private.
Sure, they can lean on.
Yeah. But I think it's awesome that they brought in a bunch of guilds to test stuff like this, and hopefully that will mean using the community as a testing source. Because I don't think a lot of harm came from like the spoilers or whatnot given by letting people play on this and stream it and all that.
No, I think I'm definitely under the assumption that we were not picked for a guild to participate in the testing.
No, we were not. However, I know Wooden Potatoes. Like I think he personally got selected since he wasn't in a World versus World guild, but he was just like, just join a World guild and we'll bring them in or something.
You have been royally invited, sir. Please don your best gown and join us at the Edge of the Mist.
Well, the guy does good content.
Oh, he does. No doubt. I just think it's funny that I could just see somebody showing up at his house with like a gilded letter saying, sir, we have invited you. You must attend, you know.
Nice.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I believe that's all the information on the Yak or the Edge of the Mists.
I am not too sure about much on the Edge, but I am interested in actually joining back up for a bit and testing it out to see what it's all about. Because that's really for me what I've been waiting for is like. Maybe not a new map expansion to the actual map, but something new to do besides here's a big worm, go fight it. Well, or here's something that you need to do with a group of people, go do it.
The other thing for this map is I haven't actually been able to play on it, and I haven't bothered asking anybody how mobile it is, because a lot of the issues for Eternal Battlegrounds sort of faces this because it's actually a rather small map when you start to divide up all the different, like, three factions roaming across a certain area. And the Borderlands, for the most part, on most servers I've seen, they have the mobility, or if they don't have the mobility, it's the same issue as Eternal Battlegrounds of three big servers roaming on there.
I think this map, it could change, as there are all those bridges that you can blow up.
Yeah, there's all those bridges you can destroy and rebuild, and just... If they do have this expanded a pretty big distance, basically one of the issues is the Zerg mentality and a giant ball of people works because they're fast enough to traverse the entire map and respond when needed. So if this is a big enough map, it would benefit smaller groups, and smaller groups would have fun because they wouldn't always get steamrolled. They might, in fact, fight other smaller groups. So this seems like a great thing for just a party of five to link up and have some fun with. And if
I don't know if that'll be as big an issue, because I feel like people won't be going for objectives as much in this map, seeing as it does not count towards like the overall score.
Yeah, hopefully people will just play to have fun and not play to dominate. Especially because especially if they're fighting like the people they're fighting are on the same server they are. That would be hilarious. Because
I don't know how like World XP is going to work from like capturing things compared to a regular map. Because that's why people Zerg, because it's easy to just train and get a lot of World XP and Karma and XP and Gold just by sort of Zerging from place to place.
Well, and an easy way to fix it, or at least counter it, would be that like some of these points are defended by like notable NPCs and not just like generic captain or lord of tower or something. Mm-hmm. And so they have actual like fighting mechanics and boss fight mechanics to them. And if they got scaled up to be more dangerous with a larger amount of people, not necessarily like, you know, one-shotting, but it's like, man, it's actually easier to take this out with five people and still get the same reward.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think there's a way to scale that so that there's a benefit to being in a giant Zerg, but there's also – it's equally beneficial to be in a small group and still have fun, I guess.
Because for all of Aeon's problems, each like castle or whatever the hell they called them, I forget, that they had a massive like raid boss in the middle that sometimes you would wipe out all the enemy players but would get wiped out by the raid boss and fail.
I still think what would be an amazing thing to do it might work with this system is just like a Team Fortress 2 or like even a Call of Duty like mechanic with like the revenge and just counting like which guild takes out your tower and you take out this other enemy guild's tower, and like I don't know if a currency is the right word for it, but it's just like basically a good way to build up rivalry between guilds across servers.
I wish there was more of a reason to claim something outside of buffs. Like, I wish there was more prestige with claiming something as a guild.
Like, maybe you get bonus influence if you take out a tower of a guild that has taken your tower like three times.
I don't know. But I mean, like, it's one of those things where things flip so frequently that, I don't know, it's not as big a deal, because it's not like you're going to see a guild holding something for days, at least in most evenly matched matchups.
Yeah, the idea of improving a tower with like, you know, player housing or some silly nonsense like that, or like some way of providing like long-term benefits. Mm-hmm. I hope they don't go in that path, but the idea of increasing like just a back and forth sort of communication across guild of just like, hey, this guild is calling you out and specifically going after your guys' stuff whenever they can, and rivalries, I think, is a really good idea that would I think that would be good for the health of the community.
Yeah. So go ahead.
So I already know this, what the answer is probably going to be, but I just want to throw it out there. If they were to introduce some sort of, you know, like Shin was saying, you know, if you, and I don't want to say buy your way to victory or buy your way to like an achievement for your guild, but if your guild had a pool of, let's say, gems, which you can purchase to mm-hmm. then buy some maybe valor for whatever tower you have acquired in your battles, and then you can like level it up type thing, but using gems only to do it, would that be too microtransaction-y, do you think?
That would be kind of pay to win-y.
Okay.
Yeah. You did with maybe something like Badges of Honor, which you can only get in WoW and don't have a lot of use outside of gear, and most people have a ton of them.
Okay.
Maybe that would work.
And that would butt heads with the concept of the supply mechanic, which I think could be used some improvements. I am sure my idea for improving it is not the best way, so I won't even get into that, but
This is the internet. Everyone thinks that their idea is the best idea.
No, my idea sucks. I just want to throw it out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just I feel like the supply mechanic could use another look at during, like, I think right now their focus is predictions now, but I think they're going to do some sort of slight improvement to the commander badge.
They said they're looking at tweaking that.
Yeah, which is thanks to the forum interaction, RDI, I forget what the term is.
The but CDI, the Collective Development Initiative, something like that?
Yeah, that thing.
So, like, if the commander could throw down something where all the yaks in the area turn and go towards him to add supplies to a group
actually
of people.
Actually sounds like a good idea.
I mean, that would be pretty
it's
awesome.
Like, oh, God, we need a supply on this tower to build up defenses. All yaks go to this tower.
Yeah, right. But then all you need is someone from the other server to transfer over or whatnot. But just go to the other server, spend 100 gold, and then make sure all the yaks go to, like, the furthest point. That can be easily trolled. I think what they're doing more is
trolled.
Improved, like, both with the blue beacon of saying, like, okay, I am a defense commander, I'm an attack commander, I'm a siege commander, so you know what to rally on, as well as possibly being able to mark like, okay, if you're in my squad, you can see that this is my lieutenant, follow this person when we split, sort of thing. Using those same icons above people's heads that we've seen both in the New Mist dungeon as well as the worm fight. I think they're going to do stuff like that.
Or if Anet were to maybe take note and people that actually spend, and we're going to go back to the whole thing of you should get a commander icon if you spend a set amount of time in WoW, as opposed to just, hey, I have 100 gold, I'm going to buy it.
I don't know about that, because there are people that spend a lot of time in WoW that just don't.
Well, sure. Okay, so I'm gonna add a little tweak onto it. So as opposed to you could spend a million hours at WoW, but if you don't have respect for the people, and this is a very detailed way of critiquing that, you know, if people rate you, let's say after a battle, you can rate the person who was your commander. Did they do a good job? Much like they did with, you know, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Did you like the mission? You know, rate us. And then that person who gets better ratings is no. When you join in, say, hey, if this person is a commander on right now, you should follow them, or they get more like renown for being a commander because of the high rating and being able to command people and put them in the right situations. So, I mean, that's just an idea thrown out there.
If they added some sort of politics to it, it could be interesting.
Like, I think something like that might work if they, like, have Valve come in and help them, because of all the
games
companies,
you can have playing cards that when you buy a game.
Well, no, but like the stuff they've done with Dota, just like tracking people, using metrics that there are all these ghost tracking things that no one really knows about, but then get factored in. I think that might work, but for now, they don't really have like the resources and time to do that sort of thing justice. So right now they're focusing on, I think, the commander badge. I think is going to be the next big thing, as well as just tweaking and making sure this Edge of the Mist comes out smooth.
Yeah, because I was like wrong, I guess is a good way to put it. Because I thought this map was going to come as they're talking about like a big WoW update after they're done with the Living Story, where they're going to merge ranks into an account-based thing and all of that. I sort of figured that this map was going to come as part of that, and I was completely wrong. But then again, they're working the story into this in whatever slight way, so I guess it kind of makes sense.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. As much as it can, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. They make it make sense. I don't know.
Whatever. I think it's super cool that they're adding a new map that you can just play in whatever, and it doesn't count towards your world score, so you don't have to worry about winning or losing that much, but you still get all of your personal rewards.
Yeah, this is great. This is awesome.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to see how it works out. Yeah. Yes?
How did Yak's Bend do with the season? The season is over, right? The first one?
The season was over in December, before Winter's Day.
I was fairly certain it was, but yeah. I want to make sure.
Right before Winter's Day, Yak's Bend was in the, I guess they were calling it Silver League or whatever the middle server was. It was top 6, then how many servers are there? There's top six, then middle nine, then bottom nine. And we finished second in the one with, in the middle nine.
Okay.
So we did pretty well. And we have been losing ever since because the server as a whole has sort of lost interest because we've been facing SBI or Maguma or both every week since.
Yeah, I got to imagine that's not – like that can be taxing.
What they did was right after the season ended, they put out a post. It was like, we're reducing the randomness in server matchups, and that was the worst idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, we have been the bottom-ranked server in every single matchup for the past month and three quarters at this point. I mean, we're just losing, and it's just not fun.
Yeah, if they're going to reduce the randomness, then increase, like, the randomness of stuff to happen in the game, because it gets kind of rather mundane if you find the same people and they have the same, like, you know how certain fights are going to play out then.
Yeah. Like right now we're the 9 in 7-8-9, and last week we were the 9 in like 5-7-9 or 5-8-9. Next week we'll probably be the 9 in 7-8-9 again.
Sweet.
Oh no, not at all.
I was being sarcastic.
The opposite of sweet. Yeah.
Hey guys, we're doing the best we gosh darn can.
No, we're not. Because we don't care.
Yeah, everyone just wait for Edge of the Mist, go have fun, and just
I assume they're putting this out, and they're going to get all the WoW stuff done before they want to do a second season, because they need a second season to drum up interest again.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier before you had to go AFK, but it's just like, they're probably going to smooth this out, and then once they're ready to start working on the next big thing, whatever that is, they'll probably start the second season and develop it during that time.
I mean, also, I could...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh. I could see them taking lessons from Edge of the Mist and seeing what happens and then applying that to the next season.
I think this sort of leaves them a door so they could just use this as sort of like a PTR or public test realm just for World v. World. I could see them maybe messing with balance where things, if they're doing skill balance for World v. World only, if they make it work in this map only first. Or if they're introducing like new Siege or something, maybe in this map only first, just to see how it works, and then move it over to where it actually counts. Hopefully they do stuff like that. We shall see.
Yeah.
Yes, we shall.
I was going to say something else. Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Please.
God, the train is derailing. What were we talking about before Squiddle said his thing?
What thing does Squiddle say?
I say a lot of things that are random.
I forget.
Okay. I think we're good to go to plugs, or at least plugs. Music.
What's your music plug, Squiddle? Hit me up.
My music plug. So today, it was an interesting day. I went over to have a little bit of a story. I apologize. I went over to my parents. And I told them, hey, yeah, I'm going to New York to see another concert. And the reaction was, are you always going to go to New York to see concerts? You live in an area, you can go to Austin and see concerts. And I told them, there's no better place but New York to see concerts. So my music plug, because they were kind of like, on the bands that I showed them. I showed them Van Canto.
God, Van Canto.
And the Bada Boom song. And I thought it was the most coolest thing. And my mother goes, are they playing any instruments? I said, just the drums. And they're singing. I said, yeah. She goes, well, that's an instrument. And I was like, oh, okay. True. Very true. So that my music plug is Van Canto's Bada Boom.
Basically, they are an a cappella metal band.
Yep.
For those of you who don't
know. And if you don't know, I'm sorry. I have led you down a path of awesomeness that you will never dig yourself out of.
Because they have a new album coming out next month.
They do. Oh, and I didn't know. Also, the concert that that Shinboy and I are going to go see, the opener, I guess, is Sabaton.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new album coming out in May. Okay. So I'm excited about that, and I'm kind of hoping, though, that they still do some of their album from Careless Rex, some of the songs from Careless Rex, because it's such a good album.
I would imagine so.
I would hope so. But then again, I have seen – I did go see – who was it? Disturbed years ago, and when their Believe album came out, that's all they played was the Believe album, and everybody hated them for doing that. So
I mean, the album's not going to be out for a few months after, so my guess is one or two songs at least.
So yeah, music plug, Van Canto, bada boom, check it out. You'll dig it.
All right, I got a few. One, the headliner for that show is Iced Earth, and they have a new one out entitled Plagues of Babylon. That album's pretty solid. Democide is a great track. Cthulhu is extremely silly, as you can imagine. It's also pretty solid musically. The first half is like finishing the Something Wicked concept, which was started in Something Wicked This Way Comes way back in the 90s. And then the second half, the back half of the album is all individual standalone tracks. And then last night, I watched, because one of the other bands is Revamp, which is the vocals are done by one Miss Floor Jansen.
Jansen, so
like,
yeah.
I don't know what she sounds like in a live setting. I've heard plenty of her stuff, you know, on albums in a studio setting. So I decided to download and watch Showtime Storytime, which is from Walkin' to Open Air last year with her performing with Nightwish. And that is a great show that you should all watch. And I'm probably going to buy the Blu-ray because it comes with the CD, the Blu-ray of the concert, and a documentary about her entering the band after the previous singer's sort of really sudden departure, entitled Learn the Setlist in 48 Hours, which is basically what she had to do.
Yeah.
It's apparently really interesting.
I'll have to back Shinboy up on this. As soon as he linked me the video before we started recording, I literally heard the first tone come from her voice and ended the call so that I could hear the rest of it to the end.
I'm currently listening to Revamp's newest album entitled Wildcard, and it's pretty good. She can sing.
Yep.
So those are my music plugs. Therb, do you have any music plugs for this week?
No, I just listen to podcasts.
You have any podcast plugs for this week?
You don't have any Portland music plugs that we can hear that take us back to the 90s?
No.
Oh. The days of flannel.
It's wintertime. No one's going outside right now.
Wait, here's a question. What was the dress code in the 90s? I mean, what was the dress? Because I don't know what the dress was. Like, how do we stereotype the 90s for
– The 90s were a dark time.
Okay.
Anyone who says otherwise is lying.
But I would say the podcast I recommend is called Tone Control by Steve Gaynor, the creator of Gone Home, as well as some of the stuff on Bioshock Infinite, as well as some of Minerva's Den, which is Bioshock 2 DLC. But basically, he talks to video game developers about the tone of various games that they've made and how they control them.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's idlethumbs.com or idlethumbs.net, I think.
What's an Idle Thumbs joint?
Yeah, it's an Idle Thumbs joint. It's Steve Gaynor. He's one of the Idle Thumbs guys.
I don't listen to the Idle Thumbs podcast.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you now.
Man, I was so upset because I had still not had finished this week's, last week's Bombcast. And I was going to listen to it on the way up to class today and back from class, but it was so cold that the contacts on the cable that I was using, the auxiliary cable, weren't working correctly.
Ooh.
I guess like the metal had contracted to a point where it wasn't making solid contact with the internals on the phone. So it was only coming out of the left side and was causing like feedback. So I didn't get to listen to it because by the time I like cranked up the heat, by the time I had actually like gotten it to where I could put the phone down and it would work fine, I was pretty much at school.
Aww.
So that was a bummer. It's really cold.
I guess I also want to throw out there my condolences to Pete Sager's family. I used to listen to him a lot. He did pass away yesterday. So we're talking about music, 94 years old. So there is a season. So
I'd be very happy if I lived to 94, for the record.
Yeah. What is it? On the music thing, what was it? It was B.B. King and who was the other one? Maybe it was Ray Charles. B.B. King was playing with somebody, might have been Eric Clapton, I can't remember, but he turned to him during a concert and he goes, if we knew we would live this long, we would have taken better care of ourselves. Huh. And I think that's pretty poignant to a lot of people that say, you know, I want to live to be 90, you know, you got to start taking care of yourself now. So
you say as you're likely downing another Golden Monkey.
A bottle of wine tonight, actually. Ooh. I've had two bottles, I think, in total this evening. So
jeez,
I'm on my way to glory and victory to Valhalla. So
jeez. Nice. Oh, yeah. And speaking of people playing with other people from the Grammys, you should all watch that performance with Daft Punk and Stevie Wonder because it's great. They won Best Album and deservedly so. So, yeah.
I would agree. Out of the artists that were chosen for that category, yes. Mm-hmm. Overall, out of mine, I would say no, but yes.
Well, we had that show already.
True.
So yeah, I think then we'll probably wrap it up.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for listening to this week's episode of the Lincoln Cast. My name's Ben Thurbleton. You can follow me at Connor Kirby, or really just follow me at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter. Jimboy?
Yeah, we pretty much all check. I have notifications, I'm pretty sure, set up for at the Lincoln Cast. If not, I get the emails. So at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter or thelincolncast@gmail.com. I'm trying to learn a mind about, because I set up that web server, but he has his own web server at home that is more robust than just an old repurposed laptop that I don't have a place for in this room. So I might just be building something on his server instead, and I don't know when that's happening. So we might have a website eventually. We might not. Who knows? So yeah, Squiddle.
Sweet. Mr. Squiddle on Twitter. And I just want to mention, I keep getting Eden the Cat following me and unfollowing me. I don't know what's going on there. I'm confused as to why somebody would keep following me, then unfollow me, and then follow me again. So, cool. Kudos, I guess.
Well, just like a cat. Too. They want to go outside, then inside, then outside, then inside.
True. All right. Fair enough. So, but yeah, so I guess then in total, I'm very excited to announce then that I have 3 followers. So, yay. Ooh, for me.
I'm one of them.
Yes. And I think, yeah, you are one of them. So,
avoid
yay
people,
for me.
The entire world.
I follow you.
That's right. Yeah, I think you do. And Ty Rosen just followed me 35 minutes ago. So,
all right. Thank you, Ty Rosen. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
What you'll have to do is, if you don't mind, is walk about a block.
Sure.
From Penn Station to it's the 34th Street Path Station.
Okay.
And that will take you straight into Hoboken.
So just find the one that goes to Hoboken and call it a day?
It's the only train that leaves from that station.
Okay. And I'd, sure be fine, I'd be fine with that. So
there's a subway station there as well. Just make sure you're in the path part of it and not the like regular ass subway part of it. It's pretty obvious which one's which.
If anything, I'll just wear two cameras around my neck and go, "Ah, hello, do you know the way to Hoboken?"
And yes, because you look very Japanese.
If anybody asks, just tell them you think you're turning Japanese.
Oh, God. And then have a boombox on the other
arm. See if they really see if they respond with, "Yeah, I really think so."